This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I want to talk for a minute about economic data. By the way, the stock market fell on the news of the coronavirus, and there's a lot of politicking around this coronavirus thing. I'll let you guys make up your minds. I think that there's a political motivation around the coronavirus. I don't know what the deal is, but we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But for now, I want to talk economics and the president's economic plan for America, how much it's working. And it's working so well that 6.1 million people that was reported recently have been lifted off of food stamps since the president took office. Americans are finding jobs, saying goodbye to government dependence, thanks to the booming Trump economy. After 8 years of Obama, 14 million people have been added to the food stamps, and the left celebrated. Welcome to the Kevin Jackson Show. The reason why I'm bringing this up is I want you to understand the ideologies at work. So, Donald Trump gets people off of food stamps. The left say, that's a negative. You took people off of food stamps. That program is set up to absorb people who are on food stamps, who should need them. So, you taking them off, you're sort of weakening the program. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, that's what they think. So, when Barack Obama added 16 million, he finally reduced it down to 14 million towards the end of his presidency. But at one point, it was 16.1 million people, additional people who were added to the SNAP program or food stamps. And the left cheered. Now, why did they cheer? Leftist pundits said this. They said, effectively, Barack Obama has stress tested our food stamp program, and we passed. America is capable of taking care of its poor. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to find out how many more could go on it. That sounds weird, doesn't it? You're going, Kevin, they couldn't possibly want that. Yeah, they did. They literally were like, well, I remember having this discussion with somebody saying, look, he's added 16 million people. Yeah, but we could do it. We proved that America could absorb these people. And I go, but that's not the point. The point is they had to go on. The point is we should build an America where they shouldn't have to. Not really. If we can absorb them, why do we need to build an America that doesn't need it absorbed? I'm trying to put you inside of the head of a maniac, because that's what, if you said to me, Kevin, we have a program that's set up to take 20 million people, I'd say, great. Now, we only got to 16, and then it started going back the other way. I would be like, well, fantastic. That means we are now opening up more bandwidth for people who may need the services at some point. So what we should be doing is stocking up, saving more money. So in the event of catastrophe, we can have this space. But the less people we have on it, the better. That is the way capitalists think. That is the way conservatives think. We all look at Donald Trump taking 6.1 million people off of food stamps, by the way, in 3 years, where Barack Obama added 14 million in 8 years, and we look at it as a net 20 million gain. The left look at it as, what the heck are you doing? You're going the wrong way. I just want you to let that absorb for just a second. Success is not looked at as good. Failure is looked at as good. That's scary. When you ask yourself, how does a Bernie Sanders thrive in the political environment on the left? I've given you the answer. Bernie Sanders is about doom and gloom. There are people in this country who have been trained that doom and gloom is good. Success is not. As we would say in the vernacular, the script has been flipped. And that's the problem. The script has been flipped. Leftists believe government's role is to take care of you from cradle to grave. That bandwidth must be there. Who is going to give that to us if you continue to talk about personal responsibility? Do you get my drift? You can't keep making me have to feel bad that I can't succeed at the level of so-and-so. Now, here's the problem. Too many comparisons. People say, well, why can't I be the next Justin Timberlake? You come out, you're 15 years old, you sing a few songs, and you want to be Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake, one of the Justins. You're 20 years old, you work at a company for a year, you want to be Bloomberg. Why can't you be the wealthiest guy on the planet? That's how we roll these days. So, it isn't about earning it. And sadly, they don't see these things the way you and I see them. They see Bernie Sanders as a savior because Bernie is going to give you all kinds of stuff for free. I talked about it the other day. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. Not given to you by man. Somebody has to make it. Somebody has to ship it to you, stock it, you know, whatever. All of that costs money. But Bernie wants you to believe you can get it all for free. Healthcare. What's the limit? You know, healthcare, childcare. Why do you need childcare if you don't even need to work? Why do you need childcare? Because you need a place to go spend your government money, the money that you got off the hard work of others, it doesn't work in any model. But you understand that Bernie doesn't care that it works. It is the failure of the system. He's stress testing us. He's saying, you know what? I'll give you taxes so far out there that we're going to stress test to where you are. That's the way socialist governments are. They keep moving the line a little bit to you know, finding out where your pain point is. They find that pain point and they live there for a little bit. Then they go a little further. Look at getting rid of cigarettes. Look at the language and how it's changed. Look at how schools suddenly became, you know, gone away from actual academics and they want to be Montessoris and teach students how to get along with one another and, you know, all their different sexual proclivities and women versus men and blacks versus whites. Since when? Higher education wasn't established for that. It was established to make people into leaders, to make them be able to think for themselves and get themselves out of situations with thought to be reasonable. We're not reasonable.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly, in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
They say the Chinese are sending 100,000 ducks to help Pakistan battle the locust swarm. I don't know if you saw the video of this locust swarm. It is insane. Welcome back to the Kevin Jackson Show. TheKevinJacksonShow.com. Have you seen, I've seen these videos, I don't know why I'm fascinated by these sort of nature shows, but man, these locusts can eat you out of house and home, as you know, old folks used to say when I was growing up. But anyway, they're sending China is sending 100,000 ducks to Pakistan to battle this locust swarm. And I was thinking, have they checked these ducks for the coronavirus? I mean, I'm just saying. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Bernie Sanders remaining under attack. You know why? More and more has surfaced about Bernie and his love of, no, not socialism, folks. Bernie's love of communism. Communism. Yeah. Bernie is not well-liked in the Democratic Party. I told you the other day that Florida, there are two people in Florida who are suing to get Bernie off the ballot because they say he's an independent. He's not a Democrat. I will tell you this, Bernie's not a Democrat anyway. He is a socialist, and at best they call him a democratic socialist. And it stirred ire within the ranks of the Democrats in 2016. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz did a good job of cutting, you know, pulling the tick off the dog and buying old Bernie out, making him a millionaire. Yeah, making old Bernie a millionaire. So Bernie was like, oh, okay, well, I'll take my money and run. But he came back. He's back. Like that coronavirus or some other virus, he's back. He'll be back every year until the Democrats finally go, you know what? We're not going to just be able to buy this guy off. We're going to have to get rid of him. Hillary! Hillary! He's under attack, and rightfully so. Bernie is a full-fledged commie. He's a total commie. And there's no getting through to him. Bernie's mind is just burnt in on communism. Interviews with, this is the New York Times, interviews with dozens of Democratic Party officials, including 93 superdelegates, found overwhelming opposition to handing Bernie Sanders the nomination if he fell short of a majority of delegates. Folks, it will be a brokered convention, and they're not going to choose Bernie. That's the deal. People don't want, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a Bernie or bust, get ready to bust. They don't want Bernie. They don't want Biden. I've been talking about this every time we come on this show. I give you my analysis, and I tell you, whenever you decide which candidate you want as a Democrat, you have to remember the poison you choose. I mentioned that Buttigieg, he's a known plagiarizer. He's not running his campaign. He's running Barack Obama, the LGBT version 2.0. That's the campaign he's running. He has studied Barack Obama, and he says, you know what? I can be that guy. He's wrong. It's not going to be Buttigieg. And I'm telling you that even though I said a while back, if the Democrats had anybody they were going to try to place into this role because of all the other candidates and their flaws, it's probably going to be Buttigieg. But let me tell you, I didn't know the dude was a plagiarizer. And I know his record. It didn't matter that he's a small-town mayor that hasn't accomplished anything. That Democrats like those stories. They like non-success stories. But Buttigieg, whoever you put in that slot, understand Donald Trump knows all about them, and he's going to call them out. So the Democrats might as well just put all their dirty laundry out there. They're doing it with, Bloomberg. And you know what? It could actually end up being Bloomberg. Let me tell you why. Because Bloomberg's got all this dirt. He's donated to Republicans. He's tried to upend the elections of Elizabeth Warren pointed this out. Bloomberg tried to get me out. He tried to, you know, we lost by 1 point to some other senator in another race in Pennsylvania where he gave that guy millions of dollars. And then with Bloomberg the other day says, I'm the one that made Nancy Pelosi speaker. He's got back and forth money. He's just like Trump in the sense that he's given money to both parties. He declares himself an independent. He's a billionaire. But the only thing he lacks that Donald Trump has is he lacks being Donald Trump. He's Michael Bloomberg. There's no, you know, woohoo, I love me some Bloomberg. He's never going to rally up the crowd and get you fired up. It's not his style. He's not going to be politician-like. Donald Trump made the adjustment. He knows how to do it now. So bring on Bloomberg. But whoever you have, I want you to understand, these people have so many flaws. And it's not good flaws. Donald Trump's going to say, I love facing Minnie Mike. You know, what did he do for New York? He wanted to manage you into drinking 16-ounce colas, and he's going to take away your guns while he has security, and on and on. Bring on Bloomberg. And for the record, Bloomberg's going to be around for the long haul. It doesn't matter what his poll numbers are. It doesn't matter if he gets invited to any more debates. None of it. Bloomberg is going to be around. He has the staying power. He has said, I'm not taking a nickel. That's going to be his other strong point. Elizabeth Warren said, I'm not going to take any PAC money. And you know what Liz did? She took PAC money. That's what she did. Anyway, there's a thing that Liz Warren said when she was asked a question about Bernie Sanders and superdelegates and all that. Here's the quote. Here's the clip.
Kamala and a account manager for a software company here in Charleston. He is currently supporting Senator Sanders. Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hey now, Senator Warren. Welcome to Charleston.
Thank you.
During the Nevada debate, you and every other candidate on the stage, except for Bernie, hello somebody, indicated that the candidate with the plurality of delegates should not necessarily be the nominee.
Uh-huh.
This essentially means the will of the voters can be denied by the superdelegates and the DNC, which is basically undemocratic. And in my opinion, is a bunch of baba booey, to put it politely. Can you explain why the will of the voters should not matter if no candidate reaches a majority of delegates?
So you do know that was Bernie's position in 2016.
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah.
He won 22 states, so he went to the convention for
voters. No, that was Bernie's position in 2016, that it should not go to the person who had a plurality.
Okay.
So, and remember, his last play was to superdelegates. So the way I see this is you write the rules before you know where everybody stands, and then you stick with those rules. So for me, Bernie had a big hand in writing these rules. I didn't write them, but Bernie did when they were putting together the 2016 platform for the Democratic Convention. Those are the rules that he wanted to write and others wanted to write. Everybody got in the race thinking that was the set of rules. I don't see how come you get to change it just because he now thinks there's an advantage to him for doing it.
That's a rare occasion where Elizabeth Warren happens to be right. Welcome back to the Kevin Jackson Show. Kate, thekevinjacksonshow.com. She's right. Why should Bernie get to change the rules? Because it's in his favor. And this is the problem with the Democrats. The rules are always up in the air, right? You can't figure things out because they don't want you really to figure it out. Bernie helped establish these new rules, and now he's got to live by them, and he's not going to get the nomination, in my opinion.
The Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I've been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. Really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The World Health Organization is raising the global risk of the coronavirus to very high after it has spread to at least 48 countries. This is the news that a Northern California woman became infected with coronavirus despite not visiting a foreign country or coming in contact with an infected person. All that being said, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Nicole Sapphire believes...
Now, before we start having widespread panic that we have now some random woman with the disease, the important thing to remember, this is Solano County. This is the Travis Air Force Base, where we have a large amount of people being quarantined.
South Carolina's Democratic presidential primary is set for Saturday, with polls opening at 7 a.m. and closing at 7 p.m. local time. Election officials say the state does not have voter registration by party, so the primary is open to all registered voters. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
To end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Anybody who ever thought that creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti would be a good presidential candidate should be seen by a psychiatrist, probably removed from gen pop. That would be the general population, those that walk among us. If you believe that Avenatti the clown was a possible presidential candidate... Welcome to the Kevin Jackson Show, kevinjacksonshow.com, 844-551-8255. You know, do you know who Michael Avenatti is? Probably. Represented Stormy Daniels. Forget her real name, something Cleveland, right? Anyway, she was a porn star who sued President Trump, saying that he was trying to keep her quiet from revealing a sexual relationship he had with her or whatever. And I'll get more into that in a bit. But I want to talk about Avenatti, because he was a Gloria Allred, the male version of Gloria Allred, a political ambulance chaser. Besides representing porn stars, he also represented lying skanks. He represented a woman by the name of Julie Svetnick. And she was the one that sort of derailed their attempt to get Kavanaugh, because Julie Svetnick was so unbelievable that even finally the mainstream media said, come on, Michael, please. Seriously? A woman who claimed to have been to 10 gang rape parties thrown by Kavanaugh. She attended 10 of them. It wasn't like she attended one and was appalled and reported him to the police. No, she went to 10, where she says at the 10th one, she was finally a, get this, using finger quotes, victim of Kavanaugh. Now, look, I'm going to leave it to you to figure out your common sense on this one. But as I wrote to Howard Stern when he tried to chastise me on his radio show, I said, hey, Howard, do you think that maybe Julie Svetnick would have said to her boyfriend after the third gang rape party, hey, babe, you think maybe we could just go to a movie? I thought it was kind of a funny quip. So, she's unbelievable. It blew up in the face of Avenatti. Pardon the porn sort of a reference there, but it really did. And so Avenatti destroyed the Democrats' attempt to get Kavanaugh, a good man who had done wonderful things for women. Why? Because he's a conservative man And none of the things of which he was accused had he done. And the Democrats don't want to admit to this witch hunt any more than they would admit that Robert Mueller's witch hunt was a witch hunt, that Ukraine was a witch hunt, and all these other things. Any more than they would admit that the feminism, these feminists that are attacking men, are nothing more than witch hunts. I was thinking about Cosby in his first interview since he was in prison, and he says, if you think that when I go before the parole board that I'm going to say anything different, he says, I'm saying nothing different. He goes, whatever I did in my past, women were willing to do, free will. And if they want to come back now and pretend that there's something different, they can say whatever they want. I'm never recanting. And it's like I say to Fox News, I will never repeat, never take back my comments about Blasey Ford and Svetnik and that other chick that went away in obscurity when she found out how stupid she sounded, the Hispanic-sounding woman, Gonzalez. The three Kavanaugh accusers, they are and forever will be lying skanks. But anyway, creepy porn attorney Michael Avenatti represented one of them. And he was considered a presidential candidate by these folks. And after I thought about it a bit, I said, yeah, you know, I see the reason why he fits. He represents scum, not only in his own professional life, but also the people that he represents. For most Americans and the other sane people around the world, the idea of Avenatti as president is laughable, to say the least. But the mainstream media felt differently about it. These people were, oh my gosh, Avenatti, he's amazing, he's this, he's transcendental, he's not afraid to go after Trump. I mean, there's a clip, a mashup of all the adulation that the media had for this absolute clown, and they went for it. Media lemmings. And because some elite person set the narrative, the lemmings followed. The minions went right after it. And one of them was Brian Stelter. And he dared ask the question of his stupidity on his show.
Let me answer real quick while I have you. Michael Avenatti is back in the news. You know, the swamp is not just about Trump figures. I feel like there are so many other figures that are part of the swamp. Avenatti has just been convicted on three counts for alleged extortion and other crimes. I've been getting some grief from Sean Hannity this weekend, speaking of Fox, right? From Hannity for once suggesting that I thought Avenatti could be a serious candidate for president. So give me a media critique. Was that stupid on my part? What do you make of how Avenatti was covered by CNN and MSNBC?
Well, I think one of the weird and in many cases distressing things that Trump has done is basically to Trumpify his opposition as well. And you see this very often in the conspiratorial mindset that many of his detractors take online. Hmm. And I think that bore itself out in the phenomenon of Michael Avenatti as well. This was a guy who in many ways was very similar to Trump. He really knew how to operate in the modern media environment.
Right.
And I think that's what really drew a lot of Trump's critics to him, was this idea that he could sort of beat Trump at his own game. The question that I think a lot of journalists now have to ask themselves, though, is whether, you know, by virtue of granting that, they were basically buying into, they were being played by that very strategy, his ability to sort of manipulate the media.
Right.
And I think that a lot of folks did take him very seriously without looking at the extensive personal, financial, legal baggage that was out there just waiting to be reported. As a matter of fact, our colleague Kate Bricklay at the Daily Beast did some amazing work on his finances. He threatened to sue her, among many other journalists. And this was back when he was sort of getting this adulation.
He's getting so many TV interviews,
right? Yeah.
And he was actually making news. I mean,
did you hear this? These are people admitting, by the way, welcome back to the Kevin Jackson Show. These are on CNN. This is a Marquet. Lachlan Marquet of the Daily Beast, he's admitting, yeah, you guys didn't vet it. You didn't vet him. You didn't look into it. In fact, one of our own people looked into him, and we found all of his financial shenanigans. Well, let me tell you, it took no investigative effort to go and find out everything that this person found out. He makes it sound like she dug deep. She looked into his Cayman accounts. Avenatti was broke because he was spending money. He thought he was a big shot. That's the reason why.
thought he was a big shot. This dude was representing Christina Aguilera, Paris Hilton on open and shut cases. You want to know why they were open and shut? Because he started out as an investigator, essentially a pit bull guy for digging up dirt for Rahm Emanuel. That's where he got his start. And then he did in L.A. He got some high profile cases, settled some high profile cases. Wow. Dirt, innuendo, companies settling because they didn't want to deal with the nuisance. But what's funny about these guests is, first of all, Brian Stelter knows the answer to his question. Yes, you were stupid to believe Avenatti. You, as a show, you're running a show, your producers bring you this guy, and you just roll over and get your belly rubbed. And his comment at the end was, well, in my defense, he was getting a lot of play in the media. Yeah. You guys, you and MSNBC, it took, I can tell you this, I did one search of Avenatti, looked up a couple of things that I, from his record, and I knew enough to go, this guy, are you kidding? A presidential candidate? He's not even believable as a guest. He rose to political fame representing a porn star. Now, this, get this, folks. He sold the media establishment on the idea that a billionaire playboy paid a porn star $135,000 to keep a sexual encounter with her private. Now, I'm no billionaire playboy, but I've watched a few on TV. They don't need to pay off porn stars. Even married billionaire playboys can get away with things that mere mortals cannot. This is an example. If Donald Trump wanted to screw a hooker, his wife would probably look the other way. He might even tell her while they're flying in their private 747 to dinner in Milan. And then there's the fact that billionaire playboys don't have to pay for sex. The funny thing about having money, people, is you really don't need to use it. Restaurants comp meals, and so do many other businesses. They want the notoriety of having billionaires stop by, take a picture with the owner, put it on the wall, and the bill is paid. When President Trump talked to women willing to let him grab him by the woohoo, he alluded to what I just mentioned. And to think that he would need to pay a skank like Stormy Daniels for sex is patently ridiculous. If Trump paid Daniels, it would be for a nuisance suit, because wealthy people unfortunately settle these type of suits quite often. And the Stormy Daniels of the world is why wealthy people wall themselves off from regular folks. They can't be sure who likes them for who they are and who likes them for their money. So as for Stormy Daniels, any reasonable attorney would have just said, you know what, Mr. Trump, this is what's going on, let's settle this privately. But that wasn't his agenda. What Michael Avenatti was paid to do was to bring down Donald Trump. And what happened? Trump's winning.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the Internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA or store jumper cables in your vehicle or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
I want to talk a little bit about WACademia. Been, you know, obviously we run an organization called SeekingEducationalExcellence.org. If you are interested in what's going on in academia from the standpoint of sexualization of kids, school choice, curriculum issues, discipline issues, things like this, then check out SeekingEducationalExcellence.org. We're having our event in Phoenix, Arizona on April the 3rd and the 4th. And we've got Dennis Prager coming in, as well as Rebecca Friedrichs, Heather McDonald. These are heavyweights in education. Rebecca Friedrichs, the Janus decision was based on much of the work that she did. She's an absolute rock star in this area. Heather McDonald was in my film Bleeding Blue. She's an outspoken critic of the social justice agenda. So if it's of interest, go to summit.seekingeducationalexcellence.org, and it'll take you to a link there. We'd love to have you. That's a beautiful time to be in Arizona at that time of year, so make it a weekend. Discounted rate at the Crown Plaza Hotel, where we're going to have it, in Chandler, Arizona, so check it out. Anyway, I went to a school board session, a planning session, because our team got this Corwin Deep Equity Program kicked out of Chandler Unified School District, second largest school district in Arizona. But the school said, but we still want to implement some sort of an equity program. So I went to the round table, sat with a lady who does not like me. I won't say her name because it doesn't really matter. She and her sister are mad at me. Her sister sits on the school board. She's a racist because she's so ethnocentric about blacks that she doesn't seem to care about the other kids. I thought people that were in education cared about educating kids, not about color of kids. See, I get that one group or another maybe have a little bit of an issue in terms of education. I understand blacks are getting the short end of the stick when it comes to education, but I don't think that it's necessarily because they're black. I think there's a lot of other factors. And I'm willing to listen to those factors, but I'm not willing to do it at the sacrifice of any other students with white guilt or white privilege or, hey, little black kid, you know, the low expectations, or what they call it, racism of low expectations. I'm not willing to tolerate that. So anyway, I go to this thing, and these women, two of them, two black women, won't even look at me. They don't want to look at me because they know of me through reputation. So we look at the roadmap of what the district wants to do, and of course they want, you have to, you know, with these very polite things, say, what do you not like about her? What most sticks out with you about the roadmap? And I said, equity. That's what sticks out. So I made the comment, nobody's ever going to be equal. There's no such thing as, quote, equity. Oh, and a lady who's a PhD says, well, anyone that says that they want equal should be kicked out of teaching, blah, 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 blah. Equity is very different. Equity is about people. It's a splitting of hairs, but okay, fine. So I listened to her, and I go, okay, great. So we define equity. So they gave me their definition of equity. But I said, okay, so here's what I want to know. When do we reach it? When do we reach this magical, mystical, end of the rainbow pot of gold for equity? And you know what they told me? They gave me an answer. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I finally got an answer. And you know what it was? The end game of how do we measure? This woman who is for DEI explained it, diversity, equity, and inclusion. She happily said that I needed to be woke on the subject. And no matter how much I explain that schools have no way of fixing all the ills of society and only play a bit role, the more they try to convince me of how much influence schools have on our kids. Kevin, are you aware of how much time your child spends in school? Yeah, I am actually aware. I know when he gets up. I know when he comes home. You know, when he goes to school, when he comes home, and I'm involved. Now, some may argue that schools influence our kids more because they spend more time with them, but that's a specious argument. Schools spend time, but they don't spend quality time. So let me further explain. Schools may put on a play, but parents rehearse with the kids. Schools may have sports and activities for kids, but parents go to the practices. Schools do and should influence kids, but if parenting is done right, those formative years are where parents imprint on their children. Time spent in school does not translate to what educators think. More so, they believe their roles are far more important in the development of your child than the parent's role. So let me jump back to the burning question of how do we measure this success, because that's what I wanted to know.
Is it the number of blacks or women or LGBT? No, not according to the DEI components and the proponents. They say those are quotas. We are anti-quota, which is not true of most of them, but I can come back to that. What they say, though, is they want teachers to understand each special interest group's plight and adjust accordingly. Teach to their issue, not the passion. So if your child is LGBTQ plus and walks in and says, I profess to be a boy, the teacher has to say, okay, little girl, you're now a boy, and I'm going to teach you as an LGBTQ plus little boy versus I'm going to teach you as a student. Now, I argued and said, look, I don't think a teacher should care what your sexuality or gender or whatever is of your child. I think that the teacher should be looking for the passion within your child. And if your child's passion is about a sex change operation, I suggest your child get a new passion. Anyway, the measure. What they said was, we measure by how much we close the achievement gap. I know, that's a secret sauce. Kevin, until black kids are performing at the same level as white kids, we have an achievement gap. And that needs to be fixed. Until girls are performing at the same level as boys in math or science, we have an achievement gap. Until Guatemalan midgets are slam dunking at the rate of LeBron James, we have an achievement gap. If I seem a bit sarcastic, it's because, well, maybe I am. That's the deal. So I was with my son, my youngest son, and we were coming back from a baseball thing, and I said, hey, I want to talk to you about the achievement gap. He says, okay. I said, well, you know, white kids are better in school than black kids. And he said, that's not true. He immediately went, that's not true. And you want to know why he immediately said that? Because he knows that we don't allow that kind of BS talk. He's a little black kid, and he knows I can compete with these white kids. I'm in all advanced placement classes, just like them. I get A's, just like them. I say, well, it is true to some degree, but not because of a race issue, more of a socioeconomic issue. But I said, but let's say that it is for this discussion. He goes, okay. So I said, so let's say that we have a score of 100 and the achievement gap between blacks and whites is blacks are at 80 or blacks are at, say, 70 and whites are at 90. And we have to close the gap. He goes, okay. I said, so let's say we close the gap and whites drop down to 85 and blacks jump up to 92. What do we have? And he goes, an achievement gap. And I go, yeah. So the question is then, do we start focusing on the white kids to get that achievement gap, you know, or what do we do? He goes, well, yeah, based on what you're saying, we would have to, right, because there's still an achievement gap. So I said, so let me ask you another question, son. Do you believe that between blacks, whites, Asians, Latinos, women, LGBTQ, whatever special interest there is, that we will get that gap close where everybody's at the same level? And he starts smiling. I'm looking at him. I'm driving, and I'm looking at him, and he gets this little wry smile, and he goes like, I know my dad's logical progression. And he goes, no. I said, exactly. It will never happen. They've set the standard for an achievement that cannot possibly happen. There will always be a gap. So the question you have to ask them is, well, is there an acceptable gap? And let me tell you what they're going to tell you. No, there's not an acceptable gap. Until we're all achieving at the same level, there will be an achievement gap. And that is the problem with DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Is they want your money, they want to make it appear as though everybody's going to come up. And here's what's interesting. Everywhere they implement this, it does not work. It's like socialism. It doesn't work. They should be focusing these kids on what they're good at and then figuring out how to restructure the academic system, the education system, in such a way that it can meet those needs. But they're not willing to do that. They're not willing to look at this the way a manufacturer would look at the problem and say, I'm not getting the desired results out of my product. What would I do in order to make that happen? And I believe there's a reason that they don't want to do that, because it would require actual work And many of them would lose their jobs because we got all these thinkers and no doers. So when you hear about DEI equity, all it is we're going to close an achievement gap that's never going to get closed.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.